From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, our One Crisis Away initiative examines the latest homeless numbers in Dallas and Collin counties. First, an expensive mess in Allen. More than a year ago, the Allen Independent School District closed its $60 million football stadium. The culprit? Extensive cracks in the building's concrete. As KERA's Stella Chavez reports, Allen ISD officials say the stadium is now repaired just in time for Friday's graduation.
Allen Superintendent Lance Hint was just days into his new job when the district shut down Eagle Stadium. His goals from the beginning: fix the facility in time for Friday's graduation and make sure taxpayers don't have to pay for it. On Tuesday, he delivered good news.
Today, I can say that all of these goals have been met. Repairs have been completed and permits have been issued so that we can hold our graduation here Friday night.
PBK Architects and Pogue Construction built the stadium, and they made the repairs. Crews reinforced the scoreboard and press box with steel to withstand high winds. Metal beams now support concession stands, and steel braces were added at the entry ramps. PBK said in a statement that it wanted to complete the repairs in a timely manner and at no cost to Allen ISD. The district has received $2.5 million to cover lost revenue, but Board President Louise Master said there was a cost: time.
The hardest part of our decision to close the stadium in February of 2014 was knowing how it would impact our students. We still cannot minimize how many students were unable to practice and perform here this year.
Voters approved the facility as part of a 2009 bond package. Eagle Stadium opened in 2012 with a splash. It's huge. It seats 18,000 people and includes a 38-foot-wide, high-definition video screen. Superintendent Hint says he feels pretty good about the repairs.
With 57 tornadoes here in Dallas this last couple of months, I'll tell you, me personally, if one hits Allen, I'm coming to the stadium.
Luckily for Allen's high school seniors, Friday's graduation forecast calls for clear skies. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
And now to Texas politics. Governor Greg Abbott got most of what he wanted out of his first legislative session. However, not all Republicans are thrilled with the results. Ross Ramsey of the Texas Tribune talked to KERA's Sam Baker about the just-ended session.
You look at this thing if you're a voter, particularly if you're a Tea Party voter, and you come out of November saying, you know, we won all of these races, we got a bunch of statewide officials that were the people we wanted, and you get to the end and you realize you didn't get 100% of what you wanted. Some of the loudest complaints about this session are coming from the people on the conservative end of the Republican Party, and that's why it's complicated. You know, you throw these guys into the mix, whatever their ideologies, and they start to knock ideas around, and nothing ever comes out exactly the way you think it might.
Well, what did they want that they didn't get?
The Texas Dream Act, which says undocumented immigrants who graduate from Texas high schools, live in the state for 3 years, and apply for citizenship can get in-state tuition at Texas colleges. A lot of people wanted that repealed, and nothing happened there. And another thing that they wanted was sanctuary city legislation that would require local police departments to enforce federal immigration laws to check people's immigration status when they arrest them. That didn't pass either.
So that wouldn't speak well for Dan Patrick's first term as lieutenant governor then?
Well, he got plenty of other stuff. Modest tax cuts, liberalized gun laws. You know, a lot of things like that that the right was looking for actually went through.
Approving use of cannabis oil from marijuana plants to benefit epilepsy patients, that was signed into law. But I'm curious, why was there such a big show over it with other governors present?
The problem with this, you can see it when people are talking about it, particularly when the Republicans are talking about it, how long they can go in a conversation about cannabis oil without saying marijuana. And, you know, you spend all those years with the war on drugs, and marijuana is a gateway drug, and the antipathy toward it is really, really strong, but it's got some medical uses, and marijuana laws are starting to liberalize around the country. You know, even Rick Perry had come out before he left the governor's office saying maybe we ought to decriminalize this or lower the penalties for it, you know, so we're not throwing a kid in jail for a joint. I think it's going to be a long transition, and this is just the first step.
Is school finance reform the big issue hanging over the legislature's head?
It's the big obvious one. A state district judge in Austin declared it unconstitutional. That has gone to the Texas Supreme Court, which will have arguments later this year. If they decide against the state and say, you got to fix this quickly, that could bring the legislature back. There are a couple of sleepers. The state's voter ID law and the state's redistricting maps for Congress and for the Texas House are both in federal court. And rulings against the state there could force the legislature to come back and do some fixes.
Ross Ramsey, thank you for joining me.
Thanks as always.
On Tuesdays, we look at life on the financial edge with KERA's One Crisis Away project. Today, homelessness in North Texas. Every year, volunteers across the country pick a single night at the end of January to count the homeless. A report released today details the results in Dallas and Collin counties. Courtney Collins explores the numbers.
First, some good news. Veteran homelessness decreased by 32% from 2014 to 2015.
There are literally hundreds of new opportunities for housing for veterans. And when you target your resources and you target outreach efforts to find those veterans in a very deliberate way, you get good results.
Cindy Crane is president and CEO of Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance. She says January's count reveals bad news for those who identify as chronically homeless. That group increased 26% in the last year.
We were having great success in developing new permanent supportive housing, and now those numbers have started to lag. We've started to kind of plateau on the development of new permanent supportive housing.
One of the problems is Dallas and Collin counties are booming, which means it isn't exactly a renter's market, especially if you don't make much money or have bad credit.
Every paycheck to paycheck, you could fall out of housing immediately, and then when you finally get back on your feet, there won't be an affordable housing unit to move into.
Creating more housing is one of the priorities for Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance this summer. Crane says she also wants to hire more case managers and better train those already working in shelters to understand all the housing opportunities available in our area. Another interesting trend? There's been a 26% decrease in the number of homeless families, but there's been no drop in the number of homeless adults who report having children.
So what's happening is these families are splitting up at the front door of homelessness, the children going to live with a family member or a friend, and then one of the parents having to go into an emergency shelter.
Which means Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance has another important question to address in the months ahead: how to keep families together. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
And today on Think, the path to paid leave. 43 million Americans, including many in North Texas, don't have access to paid sick or maternity leave. Chris Boyd talked about how this issue affects men and women differently with Lauren Sandler, who writes about the topic in The New Republic.
Women are disproportionately affected by it. You know, we're the ones who tend to have babies, though there are men who adopt babies, and there's certainly men who may not be giving birth, but who really would benefit from that extra baby bonding time. But we also are the ones who tend disproportionately to care for our parents as well. And so while women are more affected by this, it's certainly something that everyone needs. However, analysts and sociologists who consider why we don't have it, unlike the rest of the world, do see it as a women's issue problem. In other words, that conservatives who believe that we shouldn't have this really get caught in this trap about thinking about what it means to incentivize women to work more and mother less, how this would not necessarily benefit stay-at-home mothers in the same way as it would working ones. And that really seems to be an ideological impasse that we're having a hard time pushing past.
Think rears tonight at 10. You can read Lauren Sandler's story and listen to the podcast of today's show at kera.org/think. Reminder, flood advisories are in effect for much of the listening area. Otherwise, this evening, partly cloudy skies with a low around 69. Tomorrow should be mostly sunny with a warmer high near 90. It's 87 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter from the KERA Newsroom. I'm Justin Martin.